Hey there, and welcome back to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, Rick continues in his series called Connecting with God, the Lord's Prayer. In this series, Rick shows us what it means to be truly spiritually connected to God and to each other through the power of God's love and God's Word. And now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called The Prayer of Cleansing.
In January, we had a vacuum cleaner that died. I gave it a decent funeral, but I went down to a vacuum cleaner store to buy a new vacuum. And I went in and I said, I want your best vacuum. Top of the line, give me your best sucker. The most powerful sucker you've got. And give me the Cadillac. And they said, oh, we've got a great one over here. It's from Germany. It's got a motor on it. You don't even have to hardly push it. It kind of pulls itself along. And I thought, this is great. So I bought this top-of-the-line vacuum cleaner. This last week, Kay had to go over to Phoenix to speak to a business leaders group. And while she was gone, I thought, you know, I'm going to vacuum the living room and everything so it'll all look nice when she gets back home. I do this all the time, you guys. So I get out the vacuum, and I'm vacuuming, and really it is. It's kind of pulling me along. It's kind of like, oh, man, this is like easy. You don't have to push it or anything. And I'm vacuuming, and all of a sudden the thing just stops dead in its tracks. It stalls. It won't move forward. I can't figure it out. I flip it over. Doesn't seem like anything's wrong with it. And I just couldn't figure out what was hindering my progress. Finally, I decided to go kind of take it apart a little bit, and I discovered that up inside, that the bristles had taken back up inside this tiny little doll with hair that had entangled in all the bristles. And so they weren't moving, and so it wasn't moving forward. And I got to thinking, you know, that's a lot like life. You're going, oh, yeah? Yeah, we suck. No, that's not what I was going to say. No. Sometimes small things get entangled up inside you, and it stops your progress. And you're looking for something on the outside, but it's really inside of you, and you get stuck. Let me ask you this morning, what's hindering your progress in life? Growing closer to the Lord, growing closer to your family, to other people. What's hindering your dream? What's holding you back? What's slowing your progress? A lot of times we want to blame external things. Oh, it's the economy. It's my boss. It's my relationships. I don't have enough money, blah, blah, blah. But the truth is, what holds you back in life is almost never external. It's internal. The things that hold you back are inside you. Something gets entangled up inside you. Now, what it is may surprise you. But the Bible tells us that what holds you back more than anything else is unconscious guilt from unconfessed sin. You may not even realize that. It's unconscious guilt from unconfessed sin. When you hold on to hurts inside you and habits and hang-ups and regret and shame and guilt, it just does a number on you because you weren't made by God to go around carrying a load of guilt. You weren't wired for that. In fact, the Bible says this in Hebrews, up here on the screen, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let us throw off everything that hinders, I mean, others, holds us back, prevents our progress. Let us throw off, let's get rid of, let's dump everything that hinders our progress and the sin that so easily entangles us, like that little doll hair, entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Did you know that when God made you, He has a race planned for your life? It's already been marked out. God has a purpose, a plan for your life that is unique, and nobody else can fulfill that plan and purpose. And God says, I've got a race that only you can run, and it's already marked out. Now, the problem is everybody else has a race for your life, too. And maybe your mom wanted you to run her race, or your dad wanted you to run his race, or you've got a boss or a friend or a neighbor or a spouse or somebody. God loves you, and everybody else has a plan for your life. And God says, no, time out here. I didn't make you to fulfill somebody else's plan. I put you on this planet to run the race that was marked out for you. The sad thing is most people don't run it, don't know the race. They get sidelined, they get sidetracked, they get tripped up, they get entangled, they get tired, they don't make it to the finish line. Very few people in life run the race that God actually marked out for them. And they end up living plan B, C, D, E kind of thing, instead of the race that God marked out for you. Now, the fact is, God says we need to throw off the things that hinder us, hindrances, and the sin that entangles us. That's that unconfessed sin that creates unresolved and unconscious guilt. Now, the fact is, none of us are faultless. We all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. We all blow it. We all sin. We all flub up. We don't measure up to our own standards, much less God's standard of perfection. I actually have never met anybody who claimed to be perfect. We all know we're sinners. We all fall short. We all don't do the right thing every time. That's a pretty easy thing for us to admit. But what happens is, as a result of that, because we are faulty, we make mistakes, we have regrets, and we have remorse, and we have guilt, and sometimes we have shame. And that guilt keeps us stuck. It keeps us stuck in our past. We can't get on with it because we keep thinking about what we did. We get stuck in our pain. We get stuck in our problems. And like that vacuum cleaner, we just don't make any progress anymore. Now, a lot of times we know we're guilty, but we try to deal with it in ways that don't work. We deny it. We repress it. We suppress it. We excuse it. We rationalize it. And you know what rationalize means? It means to tell rational lies. That's to rationalize. When you rationalize anything you know it's wrong, what you're doing, you're trying to convince with your mind what your heart says is wrong. And rationalization is a battle between your heart and your head. And you're trying to tell yourself it's okay when everything in your body goes, it's not okay. That was not right. That was wrong. And I feel bad about it. I feel guilty about it. Now, the truth is, God doesn't want you walking around with a load of guilt. A lot of people think God wants us to feel guilty all the time. Absolutely not. Guilt is not a Christian emotion. In fact, it is the most worthless, unhelpful, destructive emotion out there. God did not design your body to carry guilt, and He doesn't want you carrying guilt. It's self-destructive. It destroys your confidence. It damages your relationships in ways you don't even realize, and it defeats your potential. When you feel guilty, you're always afraid that somebody's going to find out. If they really knew what I'm like, they would not like me. If they really knew my past, they wouldn't love me. God wouldn't love me. Well, of course, God knows everything in your past and still loves you. But they wouldn't love me. And you walk around in fear a lot of the time. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the guy who was the author of all the Sherlock Holmes novels, was quite a prankster. And once he wrote an anonymous note to, I think it was 13 key, well-known people in England. And the note simply said, "All is found out, flee at once." And I think in about 48 hours, about half the people had left the country. Because everybody carries a load. Now, the truth is, guilt messes up your relationships. If you don't understand that, just go watch some TV soap operas. And how guilt messes up relationships. The truth is, when you feel guilty, one of the ways it comes out, you get judgmental. Anytime you find somebody who's harshly judgmental, you can know one thing, they feel guilty. Judgmental people feel judged themselves. And they don't feel forgiven, so they don't want anybody else to feel forgiven. And the more guilty you feel, the more judgmental you're going to be. It's just a fact of life. When you are guilty, you overreact to the weaknesses in other people, often the same weaknesses that you hate in yourself. When you feel guilty, you indulge people. You spoil them. You buy them things they don't need because you feel guilty. When you feel guilty, you avoid commitment in a relationship. Guilt can make you physically sick. Psychiatrists and psychologists tell us that probably 60 to 70% of all the people in the hospitals today could actually leave the hospital if they knew how to get rid of guilt and resentment. Guilt over what I've done to others and resentment over what people have done to me. The Bible says this on the screen, Proverbs 28, you will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Confess them and give them up, and then God will show you mercy. Now, I can't tell you how excited I am about this message, because of all the ones we've done in this series on the Lord's Prayer, this one, the Prayer of Cleansing, is the one that will personally revolutionize your life in ways that you can't even imagine. It has personally revolutionized my life. It set me free. This prayer, the Prayer of Cleansing, forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts, forgive us our transgressions, depending on the translation you've got. When you understand the Prayer of Cleansing and you practice it, it opens the door to live a life of freedom, a life of a clear conscience, a life of no guilt, a life that is joyful, a life of blessing, and a life that God uses. I want you to experience that in your life. I will never forget the time that I prayed the Prayer of Cleansing for the very first time. I was just a teenager, maybe 17 or 18 years old. And I remember that in my life, at that point, my walk with God had just gotten dull. There was no joy. There was no thrill to it. It was just kind of ho-hum. When I'd pray, I felt like my prayers just bounced across the ceiling. I didn't feel close to God. I didn't feel close to anybody. Actually, my life was in a rut. I was stuck. I was not making any progress. I wasn't moving backwards, but I was just stuck in a rut. And so I remember one night, I was still living at home. About 10 o'clock at night, everybody had gone to bed, had gotten quiet. And I went into my room and I shut the door and I sat down at my desk. And I had a small light on at the desk and now the room was dark. And I got out a yellow pad and I said, okay, God, well, let's just do some business here. I need to do a little spring cleaning. I need to know anything that's between you and me that's holding back the joy, holding back the blessing, holding back what I know you're capable and want to give in my life. And so, God, whatever you tell me, I'm going to write it down. I'm just going to make a sin list. And I'm going to list all the things that are wrong in my life. And as you reveal them to me, I'll write them down. So, God, whatever you want to say to me now, because I want to do a little spring cleaning. And I sat there, and within a few seconds, I just started thinking of things that I knew were wrong in my life. And I began to write them down on this yellow pad. If it said, you've been jealous about that person, I wrote down jealousy with that person. If it said, if God reminded you were impatient with that person, I wrote impatient with that person. You lied to that person, I'd write that down. You exaggerated about that, I write that down. You had lust about this person, I wrote that down. Whatever God showed me, I wrote it down. You stole something. You said something wrong. You were unkind. And I just began to write down the things that came to my mind that I knew were wrong. Where I've been lazy, I was lazy. Where I was prideful, I was prideful. I filled up a page. I filled up a second page. I filled up a third page. I thought, I'm going to write my first book, The Purpose-Driven Sinner. A list of Rick Warren's sins. And I had about four pages at the end, and when I finished it, it was about midnight. And I looked at that and I thought, man, that is ugly. There's no wonder God isn't blessing my life. that I feel far from. I don't feel close to God. But I knew enough of the Bible that I knew 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 from memory. If we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us, to cleanse us of all of our sins, and to forgive us from all of our unrighteousness. And so I knew God said, if you confess it, I'll forgive it. And so I wrote 1 John 1, 9 over each of those pages, knowing that God was forgiving me simply because I had admitted them and confessed them to him. And I was sorry about it. And so I went back and I crossed out each one. I was just going to burn the paper. I certainly didn't want anybody reading it. I was going to burn the paper, but I left on there, uncrossed out, the sins between me and another person that I knew I needed to make restitution for. And there were three on that page. Now, I want you to know that since then, your pastor has done much worse sins than these things. But this is what God revealed to me at that point in my life, 17, 18 years of age. The first thing he revealed to me is that when my sister was young, growing up, I used to steal her money all the time. I knew where she kept it. I'd go into her room, find her money, take it, go buy an album, go buy comics, go buy some candy. She probably wondered where all her money went. But I even figured out how you could take two forks and stick into her piggy bank and shake it upside down and the money would fall out. And I had a great collection of comic books from all of that. And God said, you know what? You've never confessed that to her, and you need to get that right, and you need to repay her. The second thing on that list is I had been in an unreported accident. As a high school student, I had been with a couple friends of mine, and we had been in a parking lot one day at a store, and as we were backing out, I backed into a car behind me and smashed in the front of it. We got scared and left. I didn't leave a note. I didn't tell anybody. God said, you know that's wrong. You need to go to the police department and you need to admit that you were the one who bashed that in. See if it's on the records so you can repay whoever that was for the damage that was done to their car. The third thing was I was a member of a small church and at that time I had really long hair, beautiful flowing blonde hair. I was in Northern California in the 60s and 70s. What do you expect? Okay? And my dad never had a problem with it. He said, son, grow it while you got it. Because you ain't going to have it for long. So he never had a problem with it. But my pastor, this small church, was kind of conservative, didn't like guys wearing long hair in those days. And he regularly talked about it and put me on the defense. And I didn't like him. And so I told everybody I didn't like him. I gossiped about him. And I just did not do anything to build him up. I undermined him. And God said, I don't care what he's done, what his part is. You need to go and confess you've had a bad attitude and you need to ask forgiveness. So I finished that and I got in bed and God said, you going to do it? I said, nope. Not a chance. Nope. And God said, oh, really? Have you thought about the consequences of this? Yep. You gonna do it? Nope. And I began a battle in my mind with God that night. God, I really don't want to do this. In fact, I'll do anything. If you just forgive these three things, it would be humbling. It would be embarrassing. I would feel bad about it. I don't even want to do it. It's going to cost me. God said, Rick, this is a test. This is a test of your integrity. Will you do what I tell you to do? Now, let me tell you what integrity is. Integrity isn't being perfect. Integrity is not never sinning. If that's true, nobody's got integrity because nobody's perfect. Integrity means being open and honest and willing to confess where you are weak, where you sin, and when you do wrong and get right. That's integrity. It's not being perfect. Nobody's perfect. It means being honest and authentic about your imperfections.
What a great message from Pastor Rick today. There's something I always take away from his message. Here's Rick to tell you how you can help support this ministry.
Jesus told his disciples that they should live their lives according to five specific purposes. He said, you've got to love God with all your heart, that's worship, and love your neighbor as yourself, that's ministry, that's called the Great Commandment. And then Jesus said, go make disciples, that's evangelism, baptize them into the family of God, that's fellowship, a sign of fellowship. And then he said, teach them to obey everything I've taught you. That's discipleship. And we call that the Great Commission. We believe at Daily Hope that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will produce a great Christian, a great church, a great company, a great community. You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family. And I need your help. We could not do this without your support. Now, you know, I don't take any funds from this broadcast. We don't have any giant million-dollar donor who's giving big gifts to this. It comes from daily donations from listeners like you. We're 100% listener-funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me, pray for me, and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people going to be in heaven because you cared.
Hey, if you'd like to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, just go to PastorRick.com. Again, that's PastorRick.com. And really, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.